Hi, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. Dave Plyer is in for Steve Grzanich in the opening bell this morning. And Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. And you can also check us out on Twitter at Nick D Show and Facebook.com/Nick D Show, which is the best way to stay connected. Coming up in just a little bit, my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday morning, and that means it's a jokey time. So my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. And we also have Blackhawks Express from last night's 3-0 shutout against the Kings. They had a nice ceremony before the game where they presented Marian Hossa, you know, with a special award and a hockey stick, celebrating and marking his 500th goal, which he got the other night. So that was fun to see. He was out there with his kid, and it was very, very cool. And so, and then the Hawks ended up winning. So we will hear the Blackhawks Express coming up in just a little bit. So I wanted to talk a little bit about grocery store staples that were named after real people, some of which I didn't know were named, that they were named after real people. I want to get to that in a second. But first, you know, we always talk about like food and weird food on this show and weird combination of food. Dan, you found this story about the chicken pizza mashup from KFC.
Yes.
It's called a cheesa.
That was
pizza?
My guess.
Cheetza?
Cheesa.
Because it's chicken pizza. Here's the story. At one point, KFC was one of the greatest fast food service chicken franchises in the world. Then a series of advertising missteps, like a rapping Colonel Sanders, and competition from upstart chains like Chick-fil-A knocked it off its perch. The company has managed to turn its ailing fortunes around over the past year by enlisting a succession of actors, including Norm Macdonald and George Hamilton, to portray the Colonel, and retraining employees on proper methods of food preparation. Hey, who is the Colonel now?
Rob Riggle.
Oh, it is Rob Riggle.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
He is fielding the football team where their uniforms are white suits with black ties.
Okay.
Skinny ties.
That's Riggle. How long did Gaffigan do it? They all do it for a short period of time, right?
Right. I want to say Gaffigan did 4, and the last of the commercials, he walked into a meeting and there was pictures of all the potential people who could replace him. And I think that was his last one, and then Hamilton started.
For the extra crispy one. And now it's Riggle.
And now it's Riggle.
Okay. there's an ambitious plan to remodel 70% of its 3,000-plus U.S. restaurants over the next 3 years, but the core of its appeal remains chicken, and the brand is hoping to reinvent its menu thanks to additions like the cheesa. A mashup of chicken and pizza, the cheesa is a breaded chicken breast slathered in marinara sauce, cheese, pepperoni, and peppers. The result is probably something close to a chicken parm dish without the pasta. Though we'll probably have to wait for the international food bloggers to weigh in. The cheesa is currently only available in the Philippines and India, with Japan expected to launch the item tomorrow, November 1st. Yeah, that just sounds like chicken parm to me, Dan. Doesn't that just sound like chicken parm?
It definitely does sound like chicken parm.
Now, remember, this is the company that replaced bread with two pieces of fried chicken. And that was called the Double Down.
Correct.
The Double Down, which was two pieces of fried chicken, bacon, cheese, and special sauce in between two pieces of fried chicken that you would eat. Did you ever have a Double Down?
I never had it. I remember vividly you were filling in for Steve and Johnny when they introduced it. And somebody called and said, "Have you guys heard about this Double Down?" I said, "What the hell is that?" And he described it, and I thought he was messing with me until I looked it up, and then we talked about it on air. And we're guffawed and slapped.
I'd never tried one. I never tried one.
You never got around to it?
No. Are they still on the menu? Is it Double Down still on
the menu? I want to say it's like a McRib where it's like
it's
limited
special
time every once in a while.
Hey, where's the McRib? I mean, McRib hasn't been around. What's going on?
Got to call Vince Moranto.
Yeah. Yeah. Vince is the champion of the McRib. Yeah. All right. So would you try the cheese that just sounds like it's a chicken parm?
I'm all right with chicken parm.
Yeah, so am I. But now the question is this going to be one of these like the double down where you eat it with your hands? Are you going to have to eat this with your hands? Because if it's slathered in marinara sauce.
Based upon the picture that I'm looking at, I think you would hold it like a pizza, where the front end is covered in marinara and things like that, but you could get two fingers around the base, 411. And so, you know, like you can eat it like a pizza.
So is it shaped like a piece of pizza?
It looks more like a chicken parm disc.
Yeah.
But I think you can, grab it.
All right. So in order for us to try it, though, we have to go to the Philippines or India.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow, Dan, if you just want to go to Japan.
Well, you know, save some time.
Get over there and try the Chizza. Chizza.
What was the thing at KFC that you went nuts for? Was it the Flavor Bowl?
Flavor Bowl. Or it's not I called it the Flavor Bowl.
Right.
Famous Bowl. And I remember the first time I went in, because this was years ago when I was still living in Andersonville, like five blocks away from a KFC. And I went in there just to get a two-piece dinner or something. And I saw the poster for this thing, the Flavor Bowl, and I was like, what the hell? And it's everything that's awesome about KFC all smashed into one bowl. And I lost my mind. I guess it hadn't debuted all over the place yet. They were testing it out in certain stores, and the store in Andersonville was one of them. And it's fried chicken. It was pieces of fried chicken in a bowl with mashed potatoes, gravy, corn, and cheese. And then you could also, they opted a little bit, few months later, bacon.
Shocking.
You can add bacon to it. So,
by the way, 773 reminds us Dolph Ziggler is the colonel on commercials that air during Raw and SmackDown, apparently.
Wait a minute. What? Dolph Ziggler is? I haven't watched Raw in a while, although I might watch it tonight because Goldberg's coming back tonight. Well, Dolph Ziggler? Boy, you want to talk about WWE mishandling a guy. Dolph Ziggler should be like a major, major, major player. They have not handled Dolph Ziggler correctly. That guy deserves such a bigger push. So, all right, well, we'll have to watch for that.
262, by the way, lets us know that apparently there's a McRib locator app. And,
oh, yeah, that's right.
And the most recent McRib sighting was in Laurel, Mississippi earlier today.
Okay.
So
Vince, get in the car. You know, Vince documents every time he eats a McRib.
Oh, does he?
Online. Oh, yeah. On Facebook and on Twitter. He'll take a picture of the McRib because he'll count during the time when the McRib season begins. Vince starts documenting every single one of them that he eats. And you know, he works at Zany's a lot. You know, Vince Moranto, by the way, really funny, wonderful guy, very funny stand-up comedian. I've had the pleasure of working with him at Zany's. And I don't know if you know this or not. There's a McDonald's like right across the street from Zany's.
Oh, yeah.
So I believe that's where he's purchased most of his McRibs.
Sure.
Yeah. Takes a picture of it, you know, and then says, this is McRib number 10 or whatever of the season.
McRib is to him what Carson is to you.
Yeah,
document
I document every viewing of my Johnny Carson reruns.
And Vince is your cross section because he always asks Vince. If
I do.
He knows the comedian that was on that episode.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because over the weekend, Paul Reiser was on from like 1987, and so I posted the picture. I was like, Paul Reiser, you know, and at that time he was one of the best stand up comedians. He's still an amazing stand up comedian, very very funny guy. So I posted, I was like, hey Vince, I'm sure you've got stories. He only worked with him one time. And it was just a few years ago at Rosemont. And because I guess Reiser went back out on the road just to get the rust off and get back up on stage and do some sets. And that was the only time, you know, Vince has been in business doing comedy since the 80s. So he's never worked with Reiser until this one, when he posted a picture in the green room at the Rosemont Zanies. And it's him next to Paul Reiser. And Vince has this idiotic look on his face. Like, it's a goof. It's the stupidest look I've ever seen. And he posted it, and then he wrote, "What about this goofy look on my face?" And there he is with Paul Reiser. So, anyway. All right. Well, McRibs. If you want one, you got to go to Mississippi. If you want a cheesy, you got to go to India. It's all worth it, folks. All right. We're going to take a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about 33 grocery store staples that are actually named after real people. And some of these, I had no idea were real people, but these were real people. And if you know any of them and you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich in the opening bell all week. And Steve Cochran at 6 o'clock for your morning drive. Now, my dad will be coming up in a little bit to tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey time. And, of course, we will relive last night's 3-0 win over the Kings with our Blackhawks Express. That's also coming up right here on WGN. Okay, so there are some grocery store staples that are named after real people, some of which I knew about, some of which I did not. Like, for instance, here we go, Duncan Hines cake mixes. Now, I knew that that was real. Duncan Hines was a traveling salesman who made a habit of writing about the food that he ate on his travels, which he eventually turned into a best-selling book, Adventures in Good Eating. The book and the man became so popular that restaurants and hotels given positive reviews by Hines began hanging signs in their establishments denoting that they were recommended by Duncan Hines. In 1940, Hines' name was so synonymous with Good Eats that he was approached about licensing a line of high-quality food products. It consisted of 250 canned, bottled, and boxed products. Today, Duncan Hines' line is not so diverse, but it's still pretty massive, with 80 boxes of cakes, muffins, and brownies, and beyond. Did you know that Duncan Hines was real?
I did not know Duncan Hines was real.
This next one I did not know. Birdseye frozen vegetables. There was a dude named Clarence Birdseye.
It's a hell of a name.
I know. And I mean, I just thought Birdseye was just the name, because, you know, the logo was a bird and an eye. Bird. So I thought it was just, oh, Birdseye. But no, it was a real dude. Would-be biologist Clarence Birdseye revolutionized the food industry when he invented a new method of flash freezing food, the same process that's used to freeze the Birdseye line of fruits and veggies. More interested in being an inventor and an entrepreneur than a food maker. In 1929, Birdseye sold his company with a $22 million. Campbell's Soup. Joseph A. Campbell is the man, but I'm assuming it's not the same guy who wrote Heart of Darkness. I mean, I would assume that that's not the same the guy who wrote Heart of Darkness does not make tomato soup. Joseph A. Campbell is the man behind the canned soup company that spawned a home cooking revolution and a pop art phenomenon, originally part of a beefsteak tomato canning and preserving company. In 1891, Campbell bought out his original partner and began working with then-chemist-turned-chairman John T. Dorrance on a condensed soup recipe. In 1894, Campbell retired, but the company retained his name. In 1897, the company released its first product line, including tomato, chicken, vegetable, and oxtail soups, and consomme. A year later, they unveiled the now iconic red and white oxtail. How come they don't have oxtail soup anymore? I'll buy some Campbell's oxtail soup.
What does oxtail taste like?
Well, you got to cook it forever. It tastes like meat. But you have to cook it for a really long time, otherwise it'll be very, very tough and rubbery. Where did I have oxtail? I had oxtail at a restaurant, I want to say on Clark, like north on Clark near like the Uptown area. No, actually further north than that, probably Rogers Park. And it was a soul food place. And I had oxtail there, and it was the first time I ever tried goat was at that place, too. You ever have goat?
I've never had goat.
It's good.
There were stories, you know, when Cubs made its World Series that purchases of goat had shot up because everybody wanted to have a piece of goat.
That's right. Eat the goat, get rid of the curse, all that stuff. You know, there's still, like, I saw footage of people walking around with goats by Wrigley Field. Over this past weekend, there were goats walking. People are walking goats around. Why won't that stop?
Right? Because it was just make it to the World Series, so that one's completely done.
Yeah. I don't know. Because it was
a goat.
What?
Who has a goat? You know, like, oh, I'm going to walk my pet goat.
Well, you can't let a goat into the... this whole thing has just been ridiculous.
Garland had a great line. He's just like, do you realize that people back then went to the baseball game in suits and hats and stuff? He's like, who brings a goat?
That's exactly right. People would dress up to go to those games. If you look at the old footage, it's all suits and hats and Sunday dresses and stuff. Now people go in there looking like me. Like a damn slob. Now, you know that Chef Boyardee was a real dude, right?
I do know about Chef
Have you Boyardee. Seen the... Can you think you can find, like, an old commercial? Because he used to do the commercials. But he spelled it different, because he was... it's B-O-I-R-B-O-I-A-R-D-I. That's how it's Hector Boyardee. So, but then they just changed the spelling to the B-O-Y-A-R-D-E-E.
All right, this is the chef from 1953.
All right, here's the guy.
Hello, may I come in? I am Chef Boyardee. Perhaps you have seen my picture on Chef Boyardee products at your grocer's. Today I want to tell you about a wonderful dinner for three. A dinner that only cost about 15 cents a serving. It's my own Chef Boyardee spaghetti dinner with meat sauce or mushroom sauce. It all comes in one carton. A full half pound of tender, quick-cooking spaghetti, 10 full ounces of rich, tasty sauce, and to top it off, a whole can of Zippy grated cheese. A wonderful food. So ask your grocer for Chef Boyardee spaghetti dinner with meat or mushroom sauce, won't you? And look for other Chef Boyardee's products. They're also delicious, they're also nourishing, and they help keep the cost of your meals down. Chef Boyardee's products are at Best Grocer.
Ask for Chef Boyardee's spaghetti dinner. Only about 15 cents a serving.
You know, full disclosure, I had some Chef Boyardee just earlier today.
Did you have some zingy Parmesan cheese?
I did not. I did not. I had the beef ravioli with mini meatballs for a little snack here at the... You throw it in the microwave, minute, boom. Chef Boyardee. Yeah, it's really quick. You just throw it in the microwave for a minute, and then you shovel it down your throat. It's really great when you're during news breaks, when I can run to the microwave and then slam some mini meatballs and ravioli. Dole pineapples. That's a real. Those are real people. James Dole. It all began in 1899. He had $1,000 to his name. He came to Hawaii. He had a Harvard degree on his resume and the desire to grow the world's greatest pineapples in order to give the country, the rest of the country, a taste. So, Dole pineapples. Lay's potato chips. That's a real dude. H.W. Lay. And then eventually merged with Frito. And then Pepsi in 1965. Now it's all just one big corporation. So... All right, I got more of these little trivia bits here. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Real people-inspired products that you find in your grocery store. Hi. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Dave Plyer is in for Steve Grzanich all this week. Coming up at 5 for your opening bell. And then Steve Cochran at 6. My dad, in just a few minutes, will be calling in to tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. And we also have Blackhawks Express from last night's victory over the LA Kings. So, well, right now we're talking about 33 different grocery store staples that are actually named after real people. Now, the next couple we all know this. Heinz Ketchup. Well, if you remember back to John Kerry, then you know that his wife, Teresa Heinz Kerry, there is a real Heinz family behind it. All started in Pittsburgh with Henry J. Heinz at the helm. He began his food career in the 1860s delivering horseradish, pickles, sauerkraut, and vinegar by horse-drawn carriage. In 1876, ketchup and relish were added to the Heinz culinary repertoire. And in 1896, Heinz added the 57 varieties to the company packaging, indicating the 57 products the company produced. In truth, there were more than 60, but Heinz thought 57 sounded more interesting. Today, the brand manufactures more than 57,000 products. 5,700 products, I should say. Okay. Why does 57 sound more interesting? It's got more of a, you know, snap to it?
Yeah, I have a guess. Zippy.
Yeah.
There was an interesting book a couple years ago read by Malcolm Gladwell. I don't remember which one of the books it was. But he pointed out the weird disparity in that you have hundreds of mustard types.
Yeah.
And basically two or three ketchups, you know? Like, he's just like, and he talked about people who made like artisanal ketchup, and like you're seeing it more now. Like,
right.
You know, different kinds. I forget the other kind of competition to Heinz that I've seen at like restaurants, but he's just like, what's the difference? You know, it's like here you have Heinz who dominates the market, has like an 85% market share, and then, you know, you've got Grey Poupon versus French's versus, you know, all these other kind of ones that, you know, he's just like, is mustard really that different?
It's Heinz and Hunt's, I guess, are like the...
typically the big two.
Yeah. God, I remember I brought Hunt's. I brought Hunt's ketchup home. I went just pick up a few things. I had to, on the way home, I was just going to pick up a few things on the way home, and I picked up, you know, because we needed ketchup. I brought home Hunt's, and I thought my wife was going to divorce me. Well, she eventually did, but I don't think it had anything to do with... but, man, she's like, why did you buy Hunt's? And I'm like, well, it was on sale. It's like, geez. Now, is Hunt's a real guy? Johnny Hunt? The inventor of Hunt's ketchup? All right. Well, this is real. I know this. Kellogg's Corn Flakes. One of the most iconic breakfast cereals is the result of a mistake made by W.K. Kellogg and his brother, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, when their failed attempt at making granola resulted in a bowl of flaked wheat berry, which tasted pretty darn good. So they tried to fail again, this time with corn, and Kellogg's Corn Flakes were born. They were introduced in 1906 by the Battle Creek Toasted Corn Flake Company, which produced was renamed to the Kellogg Company in 1922. Dan, have you ever seen the movie? Road to Wellville?
No.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Road to Wellville is Anthony Hopkins plays W.K. Kellogg. And this is it's a true story. Before they started making cereal, or while they were, they used to have a wellness camp where people would come and they would be treated for their illnesses or their, you know, their anemia or whatever they had. And he was like this sort of mad scientist dude whose inevitable answer to what ails you was a colonic. Anthony Hopkins plays him. Cute John Cusack's in it. Bridget Fonda's in it. Matthew Broderick is in it. It's a really Alan Parker directed it. It's a very good movie, but it's wacky. It's like the wackiest performance Anthony Hopkins has ever given. He's got like crazy buck teeth. And evidently, that's what Kellogg looked like. And he was a crazy eccentric who enjoyed colonics. And that was like the answer to everything was just, yep, just have a colonic. You'll be fine.
That's funny. Eileen and I were watching a documentary on PBS a couple months ago, and it was about food and, like, you know, how we need to rethink our diets and things like that. And one of the things they brought up was Kellogg because he was a Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah.
And they are basically, for all intents and purposes, are vegetarian. You can have meat, but they recommend it in very low qualities. That's part of the reason why they developed the cornflakes was, you know, to have something to eat in the morning. And they went to a nursing home for Seventh-day Adventists. And everybody in there was like 99 and like sprinting around the senior citizen center and, you know, all this stuff and, you know, all about the healthy eating, and all of them were sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the guys were all just like, well, you know, say what you will, but look at these people. You know, like they're doing pretty well, and they don't eat a lot of meat, and they tend to have a grain based diet and plant based diet and things like that.
It's funny because, you know, that the movie was it bombed when it came out. It totally. I think Roy and I were the only two people that gave it a good review.
I mean, it is a hard sell. Like,
of course, Anthony Hopkins giving colonics to people for an hour and a half. I don't know. That doesn't sound very. But it was it talked about that in the movie as well. You know, like these people, because it was like an institute, and they had, you know, people of varying ages and various illnesses, feeling better and running around, and they talked about the cereal, and it's a crazy movie. I mean, if you really want to see, like, Anthony Hopkins at his craziest, like it's an incredibly wacky performance, almost Jerry Lewis like. He's got the teeth. He's like, does it. It's very funny. There's very attractive women in the movie, and they're all nude. There's a lot of nudity in the movie.
There you go.
Lot of it. And Alan Parker, not known for his comedies. He's not known for his light. The director of Midnight Express is not known for his comedic touch.
Before we move on, there was a Joseph and William Hunt.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Not Johnny?
No. Well, maybe, but he didn't help found the company, I guess.
So there were Hunt brothers.
They were Hunt brothers.
Okay. Now, we all know these are real. Ben and Jerry's. We all know Ben and Jerry's is real. We all know Famous Amos is real. Jimmy Dean sausages. We all know Jimmy Dean is real. All right. Granny Smith apples. Did you know that there was a Granny Smith?
I did not.
Didn't know that either. Apple pie's favorite filler was discovered in Australia in 1868 when Maria Ann Granny Smith found the seedling in her garden in the same spot where she had thrown out some French crab apples from Tasmania, which is what she originally believed them to be. It wasn't until almost a century later, during the 60s, that the American apple growers began harvesting the variety, which is one of the most popular types of apples. I had no idea there was a real Granny Smith. Jimmy Dean, we know about that. Little Debbie, you know that there was a Little Debbie?
I did not know there was a Little Debbie.
Little Debbie, let's see. You know her, that Little Debbie, the gingham dress and wide brim hat wearing youngster on the box, is the granddaughter of McKee Foods founder O.D. McKee. While trying to come up with a name for a new line of family-sized cartons of snack cakes, someone suggested that McKee name it after a family member. He chose his granddaughter, Debbie, who was 4 years old at the time. That's like Wendy's. Wendy's is, she's real. Now she's doing the commercials, right? Isn't she? Not?
Yeah, she's occasionally in them, yeah.
All right. Hormel Chili. 1891, George A. Hormel opened a pork processing plant in Austin, Minnesota, which, thanks to the tremendous sales, spawned a retail shop in Minneapolis 2 years later. In the 1920s, Hormel developed the world's first canned ham, which led to a variety of other canned products, including chili, and in 1937, Spam. I think we owe the Hormel family a great debt of gratitude for the invention of Spam. Keebler cookies, although I don't think elves living in a tree exist. But Ernie Keebler ran the company. No elves, though. Marie Callender, we knew that was real. Orville Redenbacher. Orville Redenbacher was on all the commercials. Smucker's Jam. With a name like Smucker's, you know it's got to be good. J.M. Smucker was the actual guy. He was a farmer. He pressed cider, and that was his main product, and apple butter. Kraft Foods, Kraft Cheese. James L. Kraft was in 1903. The Canadian-born businessman started a door-to-door cheese company right here in Chicago with just $65 to his name. Though the company lost $3,000 its initial year, business started booming when James' brother joined him on the endeavor in 1909. 5 years later, the company had more than 30 varieties of cheese among its offerings. Today, it's one of the world's largest food manufacturers with nearly $19 billion in revenue last year alone. And Morton Salt. You can see them right off the highway. Hey, remember a couple of years ago when somebody smashed into the into the Morton Salt, and there was like a 45,000 tons of salt laying out on the street. How long has that plant been there? That's been there forever, right? Right off the Kennedy?
I mean, as long as I can remember.
Yeah, as long as I can remember, ever since I was a kid. So, all right. Those are some of the real people and real products that you can get at your grocery.
Ooh, it's the best part of the week, baby. It's time to hear something funny. Here we go with your music intro. Ah!
It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
Yeah. What'd I say?
It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. It's a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
Yeah, that's right. My dad's going to tell a joke. This was Steve Cochran's idea several years ago. I said, hey, you know, your dad tells jokes all the time. Why don't you have him on your show? So we thought, let's start the work week out with a laugh. So my dad is calling in to tell the joke. And we were lucky enough to be sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. I want to thank George Karzis, my main man, for running the best restaurant, the greatest restaurant on the planet. And for sponsoring my dad's joke, go to the Gale Street Inn, galestreet.com. They're in beautiful Jefferson Park. Everybody knows the ribs are good, but every single thing on the menu is awesome. And we thank George and everybody at Gale Street Inn for sponsoring my dad's joke. And here's my dad. Hey, Dad.
Morning, Nick.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. How's Ma?
Doing good.
All right. How you feeling about the Cubs, Dad?
You know what? I hope they saved a receipt for the champagne, Cleveland. I think the Cubs are going to win it.
I hope so, man. I really do. That last night's game was tense, Dad. Did you watch the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
all right, man. Well, Vic, tomorrow.
Company, I don't know. Otis Spunkmeyer, his 12-year-old daughter named it. He said, what do you want to name the company? She said, Otis Spunkmeyer.
She just came up with that name out of the blue?
Yes, exactly. It was on the box. So you can read it.
It was on the box. That's why you know it. All right, Dad. Contributing to the topic this morning. All right, Dad. You got a joke. Let's hear it.
All right. When the clock factory burnt down yesterday, there was a lot of secondhand smoke. All right.
I get it. Secondhand smoke.
Secondhand, yeah.
That's right. All right, Dad. Thanks, Dad.
All right. Take
See you
care.
Later, buddy. There you go. Bye. There's my dad. And he likes to tell jokes. And the Gale Street Inn, we thank them for sponsoring it. We'll do it again next week.
That was jokey, jokey, jokey time. It was a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Nick's dad told a joke.
That's right. He'll do it again next week.